Blog Talk Radio.
Question of the day is from DeLorean Dink, that's their username on Dig, with 347 digs up. And he says, tobacco deaths per year are 450,000, alcohol deaths per year nearly 100,000, but marijuana deaths per year are zero. He wants to know, why is the drug that kills nobody the illegal one?
I haven't gotten a question like that since way back when I was in the political world. I'm a recovering politician now. I think it's partly due to the history of how each of those substances has interacted with society. Mm-hmm. And when you put them together, you know, I've been involved in the legislative battles over tobacco, and they've been mostly aimed at getting warnings and more information to people. And alcohol, of course, the country tried prohibition way back, and that was a disaster.
Right.
And I think the history of marijuana regulation is the reason why it... I think there's been an evolution in recent years toward a much different approach that's based on probably a better understanding of what is involved and some of the draconian penalties that were tried in some states for a while. I think mostly that's being rejected now.
Do you have a take on like whether or not, I mean, a lot of people have been using this for medical use here in like San Francisco, things like that. It's legal on the local level for medical use.
Yeah, well, I think states ought to have the ability to come up with regulations that reflect the attitude in those states. Now, how that balances with the federal laws, courts have to sort that out.
Right.
You know, I think there have been some experiences that indicate that some people are, not good for them. But the medical applications, I'm not an expert. Not an expert on that. I know that some people in the regulatory agencies claim there's no medical evidence that justifies it. I'm not sure. I'm just not an expert on
it. Gotcha. First question of the day is from DeLorean Dink, that's their username on Dig, with 347 digs up. And he says, tobacco deaths per year are 450,000, alcohol deaths per year nearly 100,000, but marijuana deaths per year are zero. He wants to know, why is the drug that kills nobody the illegal one?
I haven't gotten a question like that since way back when I was in the political world. I'm a recovering politician now. I think it's partly due to the history of how each of those substances has interacted with society.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put them together, you know, I've been involved in the legislative battles over tobacco, and they've been mostly aimed at getting warnings and more information to people. And alcohol, of course, the country tried prohibition way back, and that was a disaster.
Right.
And I think the history of marijuana regulation is the reason why it... I think there's been an evolution in recent years toward a much different approach that's based on probably a better understanding of what is involved and some of the draconian penalties that were tried...
If you're a long way from home, can't sleep at night, grab your telephone, cause something ain't right. That's evil. Evil is in your home. I'm Yes, what are you, brother? You better watch your habit. Well, you're a long way from home. Can't sleep at night. Grab your telephone, call. Something's wrong. That's evil. Evil in your home. Yes, for you, brother. You better watch your habit
Watch out for evil running out your back door. Speaking of which, I got a little bit of evil and malcontent in my heart right now towards the Wi-Fi connection right here at the Route 66 studio basement in downtown Albuquerque. You guys may have noticed at the top of the show there was a little bit of a malfunction, and that's due to the shoddy Wi-Fi connection here. And I got to be honest with you, I'm kind of blaming the French Canadians upstairs that are drinking Miller High Life. I can't blame them. There's too many people here with internet. Come on, save some internet for me, people. I need it. You guys listen to the Draconian Vampire Tunnel is closed to repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro, and yes, it's Friday. I know, right? Like, we're supposed to be on Tuesday. No, we're going to come at you Friday. Felt like we owed you guys one. This is a Friday RPM edition, of course. RPM Radio, brought to you by the Literary Underground. You guys can always go And check out all the great stuff at the Literary Underground, www.theliteraryunderground.org. Number to call in, of course, is 805-856-2808. Got some great stuff on the show tonight, actually. We got a little Linval Thompson, a little bit of Dick Dale and the Dale Tones, as well as Link Wray, Lou Reed, Stooges, and Jan Davis. Speaking of which, I'm feeling very Jan Davis-like right now. This is coming up right now. This is a little release off of 45. This is Watusi Zombie by Jan Davis. We'll be right back.
Omega! Omega Tuesday!
Inclusive Jan Davis with Watusi Zombie. And, I was actually doing some research on this Jan Davis, and I couldn't find jack shit, to be honest with you. So, obviously very reclusive. However, I did find some very interesting facts when I typed in Jan Davis into Google. I actually found the Davis Event Group, which is something about Toyota Working Women's Awards, top 100 minority business entrepreneurs. Basically, the thing that really stuck out to me about this was them thanking someone for making the Grand Gala for Gaylord National Harbor a big hit. I'm not sure what the Gaylord National Harbor is, but evidently it was a big hit. And that was a big hit by Jan Davis with Watusi Zombie. And I've actually got some more big hits coming up. You guys might be asking yourselves, like, what's an RPM? Come on, guys. It's a 45. It's a 45. And that's basically the theme of the RPM shows, is we like to pay homage to those innovators that came before us. And that's what we're going to do next. I'm going to play, this is Mystic Eyes and Trinity, with a song called Perilous Times. And I do see that we have a caller on the switchboard. Caller, I'll be with you right after this. We'll be right back.
Yeah. China. She talked about gaining weight again in the United States and how she was going to Weight Watchers. I complimented her on her handbag. It is a very large red cloth shoulder bag with sparkling designs. She said she bought it in Sonoma or something similar to that. Do you mean Sedona? I asked. She said, yes, I've never been there before. We laughed. I asked her what she was doing in China. She says she worked for the Secretary of State and that she works for Hillary. I said excitedly, really? I am a CIA asset. I disclose the alien agenda. She seemed interested in this. And then I said, I also investigate government corruption. Immediately after I said this, she ran out of the Starbucks store in Flagstaff. I watched her get into a silver Volkswagen SUV. After she left, Tiffany Reese, shift supervisor for the Starbucks store, threatened me. She said that if a customer didn't want to talk about the alien agenda, and I persisted, that I was harassing the customer. You mean the Secretary of State, I asked? I told Tiffany that I was going to call her boss, which I did. My conversation with Tara Onan, store manager number 5988, convinced me that Starbucks is definitely involved in the cover-up of this satanic alien agenda, and may, based on my experience with Starbucks stores in Seattle, San Diego, and now Flagstaff, may actually be part of it.
All right, that was Mystic Eyes and Trinity. Perilous times, of course, perilous times. And really dig that. Of course, if you're out there listening, I hope that you were doing some skanking that time, or you're at least skanky. I don't know. That being said, we're going to pick up our area code 541. Area code 541, you're live.
Hey, what's up, man? This is, Space Sims R10. I'm just checking in because I heard that you fucked up Mothra, man. You had a flamethrower.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. It had to go down like that. It had to go down like
that. Did it?
Yeah.
You just burned Mothra to a fucking crisp is what I heard, man.
You know. You deal with incendiary properties like the draconian vampire tunnel, you're bound to get burned. That's the way it
That's
happens.
Right, man.
Yeah.
Strict penalties to the fucking death. Draconian. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I like that. Nice.
I want to say something else, man. Fuck all y'all people in Sonoma and Sedona. I'm just kidding, New Age people. Can't you take a joke?
I like this guy. I like this guy a lot. Had my experience with Arizona, and yeah, I don't want to go back. So, no part of that, man. What?
I know mad yoga chicks that go to Sedona, man.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, man, I know what Sedona's about. And I also like that when I heard in the poem, man, the satanic alien agenda to take over shit.
I'm sorry, sir. We get this a lot on the program. There's a lot of people that tell us they hear certain things, and I have to always deny it. I got to be honest with you.
Hey, it could be happening, man. You're not going to know about UFOs until one fucking lands. And otherwise, you're just not going to be able to really prove it. But until one lands, I believe in them. You know,
yeah.
I think that there's other life out there. You know, maybe they run the government. I don't know. But, you know, hey, until one lands, you know, we're not going to be able to say for certain.
Yeah, that's true, man. I don't think that's too far-fetched. And typically, UFOs, they do like to land around the vicinity of the Draconian Vampire Tunnel. So,
well, you know, man, they got to see what's, you know, happening, man. They're coming for the dope music. You know what I mean?
That's a good
music
segue, actually.
All beings.
Well, you know, I have to thank you, sir, because this is an excellent segue to our next song. This is actually by the Astronauts. And please hang out with us for a second.
What is your name, man? What is your name, man?
I am the...
Give me a name. It doesn't have to be the real name. Just give me a name.
No, I was going to say, I'm the owner and operator of all things that are funk. I am Frankie.
Oh, okay.
And... yeah.
Frankie White?
Petro. And this
All
is...
right, man. Good to meet you. Good to meet you.
Thank you, sir. This is the Astronauts. A little song called Baja. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Project U news feed for May 18th of 2012 and May 19th of 2012, brought to you, of course, by The Literary Underground. You guys can go to www.theliteraryunderground.org for all your draconian vampire information, information about your mother's medicine cabinet, as well as Project U radio shows. That being said, today's newsfeed is actually about our chief operator of the meth lab, Mr. Nuwamba Flamingo. Congratulations, I think, are in order to Mr. Nuwamba Flamingo for gaining a notable story mention in the Million Story South Writers Award. It recently was took place. Yeah, for the story That Fucking Dog, which was published by Red Fez. I've heard of these guys. Good magazine, of course, you guys, if you want to check out That Fucking Dog by Nuwamba Flamingo, very classy story, I have to suggest it. Please go to www.redfez.net for all that information. And speaking of the meth lab, also we have another little tidbit from the meth lab, of course. You guys can go to www.methlab1234.blogspot.com. And please be sure to check out the future installment of Carl Kowalski's new column coming, monthly column actually, coming live to the Meth Lab pretty soon. So, good stuff on the horizon, I guess. That's what we'll call that. Speaking of which, I got more stuff here, man. I got more songs, and I think we're gonna go with Linval Thompson next. This is a song called "I Love Marijuana." I do too. You guys listen to the Draconian Vampire Tunnel. It's closed to repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. Number to call in, of course, 805-856-2808. We'll be right back.
And so, after weeks of painstakingly searching this rugged area the size of Wales, finally some kind of reward. As behind me, the soldiers gather and burn huge piles of coca leaves and marijuana. The drug barons themselves. And so, after weeks of painstakingly searching this rugged area the size of Wales, finally some kind of reward. As behind me, the soldiers gather and burn huge piles of coca leaves and marijuana. The drug barons themselves may have escaped the net this time, but their evil wares have not. And I think you better cut that. Behind me, smoke, soldiers burning drugs. There. Soldiers, behind me, soldiers, rugged soldiers, out of Wales, burning drugs. Painstakingly. Behind me, painstaking barons, burning lead drug soldiers in huge piles of whale nets. Oh. Woo! All right, that's the one, Jerry. Hey!
Marijuana, I love it, my brother. Marijuana in my soul. Marijuana in my heart. I love to draw marijuana. It gives me a deep
I'm freaking out.
When solar activity peaks in 2011 and 12, it could cause widespread disruption to aircraft navigation and emergency location systems that rely heavily on satellite navigation data. Upon completing my teaching contract, my chosen means of departure from South Korea is a transatlantic cruise to an unknown destination. All of my spare time is involved in elaborate plans, sometimes a trip to several Mediterranean countries, sometimes the Trans-Siberian Railway is involved. Recently, in the spirit of Korean-American artist David Cho, it even involved hitchhiking across China and Russia all the way to Europe. But in 2011, in my dream, I'm on my way to the boat. As soon as I get to the harbor, all of the docked ships begin to explode. Oh, shit, that damn solar storm. It's even gotten the ships. I numbly wonder if this is happening here. What's going on in the rest of the world? Which of my friends and family have survived? When was the last time I even spoke to them? Shoot, what was my last status update on Facebook?
That was, excuse me, Linval Compton's I Love Marijuana in My Heart and in My Soul. Fucking A. Good shit, man. Really dig that. I do want to say a big shout out to Zygote and My Coffee. I see you in the chat room there, big guy. How you doing? Mr. Brian Fuget, BFF. It's good to see you, brother. And, of course, bringing back on Mr. Area Code 541. Do you love marijuana, 541?
I think I know what 420 means, and you know what? I embrace it. I embrace it with all my heart.
There you go. There you go, man. Right on. I think we definitely encourage people out there to embrace it.
It does make you meditate, man. And that leads, look, I know some of you say, space and Zartan, what the fuck does that mean? See, that's what I'm saying. You need to be in that 420 so you can meditate, so that you can understand that the mind is like space. That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
That's what Zartan means.
Yep. Cosmological eye of sorts. Yeah.
Exactly, man. Yeah. You gotta meditate. You gotta meditate. What I think, what Jesus, he has a saying, right? You know what I'm saying? He says something like, you know, if your body be full of light, then your eye will be single.
Mm.
So what is he talking about? He's talking about the third eye, people.
Third eye,
meditate.
Oh yeah, fucking A. I'll tell you what, man. You're obviously a very knowledgeable person. You don't happen to have thing to read. I know that you read last week, or excuse me, Tuesday.
Oh, man, I always got something to read, man.
Oh, right on, man. Cool.
I fuck up rappers on a daily basis, man. You know what I mean?
All right. Right on. Well, please, man, it's all you. Floor is yours.
Okay, man, you know, this is going to take a few minutes, and I might fuck up a little bit, because I haven't read this for a while, but this is a little rap. And I'm going to do this. You know what I'm saying? You need to tune in to the Literary Underground, because they got the dopest shit going on right now. You know,
if you're not
tuned in right now, then yo, I don't know what to say, man. You really need to tune in. Get enlightened, all right? Okay. This is called history. I cannot be humiliated. My thoughts are within the rocks. I roll trees and spots on top of mountain tops. I thought you couldn't be defeated. You were right. He was wrong. I caught him cheating. Western astral planes full of mystery. Unknown dimensions while you make history, history. No present, past, no beginning, nothing to possess. 2012 space odyssey held beneath my breath. Redemption in tears, your tears is still frozen. Year 2012, facial expression dead. Stuck in the maze of virtual reality. Intimidated, swallowed by the dread. Crimson red, he said. Man kills man, then that man is judged. With nothing to fall back on but the guilt that is his crutch. My spirit more than atoms and molecules. In grains of sand turn dust, yellow flames burn blue, silent in solitude. My attributes, attitude, soluble in syllables. On floors of marble witness miracles, ha ha. Magnificent, marvelous, mirage, rusted, malignant tumor grew enchanted, enticed, self-absorbed in the rumor. I sailed the seven seas,
Pray to God they couldn't hear me. Cemented in a flame of lipids, no motion of grease. My temperament in disarray because the world never sits in peace. Embellished peaceful thesis, compassion personal clips and can't be distinguished, frozen. I've chosen the cyclic, psychedelic English. There's darkness in caves, sell it out in movie theaters. Extinct species, Jesus forgive them. This soul to keep, I try to lie, that fell, my actions speak, no alibi. Angels never cry, my gene magenta, astral plane jetta, my main star enters, silver engraved letters. Take my best shot, get to the top. Sender, epithet exists in eternity, forever. Nova Noah burn frozen in obscurity. Obsolete, deleted, statue, they committed perjury. Burgundy, oxblood, stained leather, existed through the years. The tears, sheltered, pelted with agony. And shame that can't be measured, collected, method, eclectic, esoteric in essence. The sun brings light, interwoven in matches, checkmate, he tastes king. Inscribed, fake, and nothing can be seen. One small step for man, I'm terrified. 2001 Space Odyssey, synthetic soldier dressed in fatigues. Cyclops as complex, an oddity distinguished by its secrets. Temperatures drop to Fahrenheit, make time stop in millimeters. He picked seven and felt that he was still confident. An ignorant, mad, bad karma, no oxygen. I yield loud and must fill the golden brace chariots. My plan pulled by the weight of oxen. Counterfeits lethal and highly toxic, I challenge them. These morons, they only care for profit, astonished, tarnished, nourished without the tonic, subsonic, intellectual, that was neurotic, the pigeon spotted to make the skies black, exotic, creative, desolate, cracked, and symbolic, individuals that have no eyes and will never get them back. Hygiene's hijacked the need for agony, a man trapped, stuck in another man's salary, but it makes them what they are, uptight, callous, casualties, a blasphemy. The literary
Woo!
Underground. Zog Chan. Zen.
Woo!
Ric Flair.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah, all right. See? Fucking A, man. I dug the shit out of that. I was going to say, I was going to ask you if you were familiar with Miguel Pinheiro.
I don't think I am, man. But you need to turn me on to that, bro.
Yeah, familiarize yourself with that. I think I like him a lot, actually. That was tight, dude. I dug the fuck out of that. I'm not even a big fan of rhyme schemes too often, but that was some ill shit. I'm not even going to fucking lie.
Thank you very much,
man. Please, let everybody know where they can find some of your work, maybe.
The only way that you can find me is to silence your mind and calm it down and meditate on the space between thoughts. Then you reach Zog Chan. That's what I'm saying.
There he is. Oh, man, I love that shit. Love it, love it. Well, I'll tell you what, brother. Hang out with us for... you're more than welcome to hang out. And,
of course, sir.
Yeah, damn, man.
I want to say that, Frankie, man, you're putting it down, man. Seriously, man. You're doing something cool, man, because I listen... You know what I'm saying? I always want to hear fresh music, whether it's old or new. And usually
mm-hmm.
even the old music, man, is like the best shit right now to me.
Oh,
but it's like,
you're
putting it down, man, and you're putting a real art vibe on it, and I really dig that, man. That's what we need right now, because you need to wake up. You're helping to wake up the sleeping minds, man.
Yeah,
they
I'm
need
doing
to know
my,
what quality is.
I'm trying to do my damnedest, man. I'm doing my damnedest, so I appreciate the vote of confidence, sir. Really do. In fact, you know what? I'm gonna do this for you, man. This is dedicated to the space. I'm going to call you the space from now on. I'm just going to call you the space, bro. That's the way it is. Dick Dale and the Dale Tones. This is a little song called Surf Beat.
We'll be right back. Now, here's the thing. The rapper Snoop Dogg has gone to some extraordinary lengths to broaden his fan base by personally appealing to a Welsh farmer to come to his concert. The man in question, Ian Neil, caught Snoop's eye, and he broke the record for growing the world's biggest Swede. Keen to learn his skills, Snoop sent him a special invitation.
What up, though? Shout out to my homeboy Ian Neil in Cardiff for breaking the world's records for the biggest vegetable. Man, I want to tell you something, man. When I do my show in Cardiff, I want you to come backstage and see me, because I do vegetation myself, and I want to know your secret so I can show you my vegetables and see if you can grow that into a real big vegetable. So Ian Neil from Cardiff, come see your boy Snoop Dogg. I got 2 tickets for you when I get to town. You dig?
Respect.
Here's the current trend in new wave localism.
Sense of detachment, I'm watching the explosions from the van on the way to another ship that hasn't exploded yet, and it isn't supposed to explode because it's not connected to the grid. I'm not sure that this is true, but that's what they are telling me, whoever they are. But there's one problem. The ship is out of gas because it's not connected to the grid. I examined my pockets. I still have a little bit of money to buy some after a bit of scuffle I got into with some tough cholas at a convenience store who are trying to bully me out of my remaining Korean won. I'm willing to put some cash into the gas pool, but then a clever little boy tries to steal the gas from a single gas station servicing the cruise ship. The man in charge of the gas station, of course, is Middle Eastern, because I can't help but stereotype people in my sleep. As he just watches all the ships blow up, he takes pity on the motley crew of survivors in the van. He not only gives us the gas, but decides, oh, fuck it, why don't I just get the hell out of here and join you guys? Even though he is old and very hairy, for some reason he takes his shirt off and I cuddle with him in the backseat of the van. He's a very nice man, but a little repulsive. Maybe he is the last man on earth. I wonder what my father would think.
That was the Surf Punks with My Wave, Baby. Look out on your left. I'm going to punch your face.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not the lyrics. No. Sorry. Surf Punks with My Wave. really cool stuff. And I have to give them mad props for having the skateboard guitar in the video. That was fucking sick. Hell yeah. Mad props to you guys. Whew! Man, it's been kind of a good RPM show. I kind of like doing the RPM shows just because I get to really dig and dig and dig in all this great old school music. And you know what? One of the kings of the 45, as I like to call him, or... All right, I'm going to call him the badass of the 45, Mr. Link Ray. This is a little song called Viva Zapata. I do want to say that we have 5 minutes left of live streaming. Of course, number to call in, as always, 805-856-2808. Zapata. Of course, Link Ray is very, very popular for a lot of great songs like Rumble, Ace of Spades, Apache, Switchblade. Just all around great family, wholesome song titles. Woo! Coming up next, and I really hope that you guys want to call in and listen to this next song, because this is the epitome of the evening, I think. Coming live, well, not live, but coming semi-live from the Draconian Vampire Tunnel, Iggy and the Stooges with, off their Funhouse album, Dirt.
Another danger of cream corn. There I was just leaning casually on the edge. I was just standing there when it reached over and cut my wrist. The cuts were horizontal, but I died anyways from the gangrene. Like a magnum condom, the well-executed white lie was only meant to iron the wrinkled sheets. It doesn't leave a trace of DNA.
That was Iggy Pop and the Stooges from the 1970 release Funhouse album. Name of that song was Dirt. Do you feel it when you cut me? There's a fire. It's a fire. You know, I actually been walking around all day thinking that he was saying, do you feel it when you cock me like a pistol? But apparently I was wrong about that. Read into that what you may. Yeah, there you go. Woo! I don't know what else to do for you guys, man. I really don't. I do want to take the time to thank my boy, The Space. I'm going to call you The Space from now on, man. I hope you, that doesn't offend you, but I want to thank my boy, The Space, for coming through and definitely laying it down, man. Shit. Really good shit, man. I think we're going to close the show with Lou Reed, of course. And then, I don't know, there have been some recent medical studies that have been conducted inside of the Draconian Vampire Tunnel on post-traumatic stress disorder and the effects of marijuana on that. So that could be something coming up a little bit later after Lou Reed. Not sure. But this is Lou Reed. Name of the song is The Blue Mask. You guys have been listening to the Draconian Vampire Tunnel Is Closed to Repairs Friday RPM edition. I've been your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. Catch you guys next week. Are you saying I'm a transparent skeleton or something? I asked, and no, I'm saying that I have X-ray vision. I know you. I've known you for how long now? 3 years? It was true that PF was the most familiar with my escapades and general neuroses, but sitting beneath the drawn shades with my back against the cold white wall, I felt naked, masticated like a cheap piece of velvet felt stuck between the outside and the tarnished screen that keeps the elements out while the moths hovered over our heads. The sheets smelled like 2 days with no shower, little makeup, and dirty laundry, the kind you can't let anyone see but you carry as a badge that smell below your belt that only 2 people in the entire world know about, the last 2 people alive and in love. PF pulled out the vacuum before pants were even on, myself dreading the impending cacophony, much like an ill-trained St. Bernard in the corner of the room. When the jets roared, it was the sound of 14 moths screaming for escape from the current. When it was silent, I heard owls somewhere in the distance. I could feel the presence of 1,000 dead pigeons above my head. They all died on the roof or in the rafters of this building, and here we were defending ourselves against the dust of little wings. She'll say with no doubt whatsoever that I'm an alarmist and absolutist. In fact, she did say this because, for the most part, it is true. If she sucks up the last moth, I'm convinced that the stiffness in my neck is just moments ago while exerting myself in the midst of being the admiral, the beginning stages of an ever-growing brain tumor at the bottom right base of my abnormally equilateral skull. Not saying that I sympathize with insects, but I know at that moment we were not so different, that human beings and insects are not that different, because we're all trying to avoid being sucked off into another black hole of oblivion where there's no oxygen, life growing around us, and 1,000 echoes before anyone will ever notice we're gone. The book I picked out instead of The Infinite Jest was David Foster Wallace's Everything and More, A Compact History of Infinity, which I found to be ironically comical in accordance with everything I had ever known of luck. It's something you need and never what you think you want. I breezed through the pages for only a few moments before PF finally appeared ready to leave. Scanning through the middle front, past the long-winded introduction, which for the avid David Foster Wallace reader is a heinous offense against the author, and only wincing near the end of the book, I noticed primarily that it was filled with physics equations, with a statement somewhere about DFW's intention to make math more accessible for those with little interest or familiarity. However, some weeks after the night in question, when I first came across Everything and More, A Compact History of Infinity, I revisited somewhere around the first 50 pages and became obsessed with his analysis of denotive nouns. Completely lost sight of his explanations about some of the equations I would be delving into, the stifling abridgments scattered throughout, which was more of a chore than the conceptualization of quantum physics, a heavy theme of the book. I started thinking about the word scratch and how it could only be applied in a physical sense, that our concept of a scratch could only exist on skin or a car door or glass, etc. What would a scratch in the universe look like, I wondered? A black hole? The tail of a comet? An imploding quasar? Could a nonlinear scratch exist within a white dwarf, causing a bleed out of time as a form of fuel for travel? The overabundance causing a volcanic effect when exposed to the numerous eruptive gases that exist in the universe? A non-linear scratch that would bring about not only death, but creativity. An incendiary masterpiece with skeletons, stars, numbers, and plans.
They are the best gardeners of my generation, I realized at a certain point. You know, the best gardeners of my generation are not hybridizing roses, are not, you know, working with orchids. They're working with this incredibly valuable, incredibly interesting plant called cannabis.
If this turns into anything good, though, look at it. I mean, this is how thick the stalk is when it's just gone to bloom.
It's got a beautiful shape.
It is nice.
I mean, think about it. This thing's a weed.
Yeah.
It's a weed. It's a weed that's worth, you know, in the open market, like, you know, $6,000, $7,000 a pound. Pretty good for a weed, huh?
But cannabis only fetches that price because of that one particular molecule it makes that gets people high. Its name is THC, and it was discovered back in 1964 in a lab in Jerusalem by chemist Raphael Mashulam.
Cannabis had not been well investigated, which was strange. After all, it was being used illegally by millions of people, and yet we didn't know that much about it. So I thought it's a good idea to look at it again from a modern point of view.
In the lab, Mashulam and his colleagues broke cannabis down and zeroed in on the chemical components that might be causing its effects.
We isolated about 10 compounds. Surprisingly, out of the 10 compounds we isolated, only one, which now is known as delta-9-tetrahydrocannabinol, in short THC, only one causes the well-known high. We tested it in humans, many of my friends, and we saw that the compound is effective as we expected it to be.
The identification of THC answered one question, but raised another. Just what did it do to the brain?
I had always assumed that people knew how marijuana worked. It surprised me, actually, when I began looking in the research literature that it was really clear that no one really knew how it worked.
In 1988, Aline Howlett found the answer. She discovered that deep inside the brain, THC molecules activate a previously unknown network of specialized chemical receptors.
So that was proof that there is a receptor protein in the brain that can bind to the THC, like a key in a lock.
It was very exciting because what that meant to us was we had a tool that could be used for studying, and other researchers could use it as well. And people could study where the receptor was in the brain.
Howlett and other scientists found the receptors in the hippocampus, which forms memories, the cerebellum, which controls movement, and the frontal cortex, where we think.
Here were these receptors that this chemical produced by a plant out in the world just so happened to have the precise combination to unlock. What an extraordinary thing that is. Is that why that receptor network existed, so that people could get high?
We don't have those receptors just so that people can get high smoking pot. Receptors are developed in neurons so that they can communicate with a chemical that the body makes.
So that was the logic behind going in and trying to extract a compound in the brain that would act just like marijuana did.
And in 1992, proof came that the brain does make a compound very much like THC. It was discovered by none other than Raphael Mashulam, who named it anandamide.
We call it the brain's own marijuana because the compound that is made by the brain, anandamide, shares all the properties in terms of at the receptor level and cellular level that THC has.
It turns out that when anandamide is released in the brain, like marijuana, it affects such basic things as appetite, pain, and memory. And it plays a critical role in a sometimes underappreciated mental function, forgetting.
When I first heard that, it didn't seem adaptive to me to have a drug for forgetting. Memory, we understand, has great survival utility. You know, you learn that that's a poisonous mushroom or that's a dangerous animal and you stay away and you remember that. But why would forgetting be adaptive? And I asked Mashulam this question and he said, well, tell me, do you really want to remember all the faces you saw on the subway this morning? Forgetting well is almost as important as remembering well. Forgetting is about editing. It's about taking the flood, the ocean of sense information coming at you and forgetting everything but what's important. So life is not just about accumulating new memories. Memory can cripple us too. You have soldiers returning from war zones that are traumatized by experiences that in effect they can't unlearn. So if you could help them unlearn that, essentially a productive kind of forgetting, either with a drug or some other kind of regime, that would be incredibly useful.
And that's exactly what Aaron Lichtman is trying to do. He's studying how mice remember and forget. First, he trains them to find an underwater platform.
The mice are natural swimmers, but they're looking for a way out.
They swim all around the perimeter of the tank. They're swimming, swimming, swimming. Sometimes they bump into the platform by mistake and they climb onto it. Other times they never find it.
So then at this point, he's been at it for a while.
And the experimenter has to gently guide them to it or place them on the platform.
Then, Lichtman takes the platform away. A normal mouse quickly realizes the platform is gone. But a mouse whose anandamide receptors have been blocked is unable to forget.
They don't learn to give up. They keep on looking for that platform even though it's gone.
Scientists like Lichtman hope that learning how to regulate anandamide may one day lead to treatments for people who are haunted by their memories.
If they can elevate naturally occurring anandamide in humans, we might be able to have whole new therapeutic targets to treat post-traumatic stress syndrome.
By using a plant that has been around for thousands of years, we discovered a new physiological system of immense importance. We wouldn't have been able to get there if we had not looked at the plant.
These plants are constantly undergoing this revision and this re-revision in our cultural imagination, depending on what uses they're playing for us.